Well, it's kind of funny because I was, you know, going through all of that, I thought of all of these scenarios why I couldn't do it. I thought, you know, everything was scary, everything was risky. I don't have money for this. But every time I took a step forward, you know, I went and got that pre-approval, or I went and talked to somebody and they told me about this loan, product that was super cheap. Every time I took a step forward, there was always a bunch of different avenues that would appear that you never saw before. So, I mean, that's the greatest advice I can give is just to take that first step in.
A great book can totally challenge your conventional thinking and change your life for good. However, some of us just don't have the luxury of time of sitting down to read a book. But there are some instances in which we do have dead time, and these are perfect times to learn. So we can learn while driving instead of jamming to the same music on the radio, or maybe at the gym. Well, now you can. Dwelling has partnered with Amazon's Audible to give you, the Dwell listeners, a free book. Yes, a free book. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/dwelling and download your free book. This will also be in the show notes. You can click on the link. And if you don't have a book in mind and you say, "Ola, I don't actually know where to start with," well, awesome, because I can tell you one to start with today. It's a quintessential classic. It's called Rich Dad Poor Dad. So download Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that would basically just take your mind on a different spin. Of course, I'm always open to hear from our Dwell listeners. So email me at ola@dwelling.com, and then feel free to also give us a rating and review. This really helps us to rank better in iTunes. I can't wait to hear from you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us on the Dwelling Show. I'm your host, Ola Dantes. I've got the amazing Chad DeVore with us today. How are you doing, Chad?
Good. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us today. Can you just kind of tell our Dwell listeners who you are, what you've been up to, and kind of what you're doing lately?
Sure. Thanks again for having me. I guess I've been in real estate since 2014. Going way back, I guess I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire, to a middle class family. Kind of surrounded by the entrepreneurs. Both my parents had businesses, so I got to see that firsthand. It kind of grew up. My dad had a painting business, my mom had a cleaning business, and then worked with them for years, you know, to scrape up some extra cash and that sort of thing. And then kind of helped my parents when they bought their first rental property and kind of saw the value in that. That was back in high school, I believe. And then I went off to college, kicking and screaming, but my parents said I had to go. So I went to college, had a great time, didn't do that well school-wise, but had a great time. And the whole time I was there, I was working part-time with my parents, you know, back and forth. So I went to a local school that was only about a half an hour from my parents. And then graduated from that and decided that I wanted to try the world firsthand by myself without working for my parents, and decided to move out to California. I had no job. This was in 08, 09, and tried to get a job in finance. And as everybody knows, that was not the best time to try and find a job in finance. So then I ended up, just doing all kinds of odd jobs. I think I worked at Kohl's overnight stocking shelves. I worked at a Sherwin-Williams stocking paint. And then I got the call from my dad and said, "Hey, how about you fly back and start working for us a little bit here? We'll help you fly you back for 2 weeks, put you to work, make some money, and fly you back." So I did that for a couple months too, until I finally got my first break in aerospace. I was always a little bit of a geek and liked airplanes. And so I started working in that, and that's where I've been working in ever since. I've been in aerospace for about 10 years. And then let me think, what was it, 2014, I finally bought my first house. And it was a turning point because my parents had kind of suggested, "Hey, if you're going to buy a house, why don't you buy a duplex? That way you can live in one side, rent out the other, and, kind of live for free and kind of, start in real estate," because they knew the value of it because they had a rental property and they own their house. And after months and months, I finally went and got a pre-approval and started looking for properties. And ever since, I got a property under contract and closed on it. But that was kind of the start into my path into real estate.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. That is such a long synopsis, but I really love it because, you know, when somebody goes on your page, for example, on Instagram, they're like, oh my God, look at this guy. He's so lucky. He's doing real estate. Look at him. He's just, you know, he's just an overnight success. He's, you know, but looking at the timeline, I mean, I'm taking some notes here. You started in 2004. Mm-hmm. However, you bought your first property in 2014. So a 10-year gap of constantly working with your parents in real estate, grinding. Also taking a risk of moving to California, you know, at kind of in the deep of the recession in 2008 to get a finance job, right? So I'm kind of teasing these things out because it kind of shows that you were able to take risks, right? Real life risk. Like, you know, who moves to California, the most expensive real estate market, and, you know, finance living to try to get a job in the recession.
Well, and I forgot the little piece too. So as soon as I graduated, my uncle actually was a manager at a local bank. And so when I decided that I didn't want to work for my parents at that time and I want to try something new, I thought finance would be good. You know, I looked at all these movies and finance and Wall Street. I was like, oh my God, I'll make a ton of money doing this. So I was on the search for something that I could make a lot of money, something I have fun with. So I reached out to my uncle and actually got a job with that bank. I think it was like right after I graduated. So I went and worked for him for 3 months. But of course, it was 08. And 3 months into it, we all showed up to the bank and it was locked and we had no job. So even my uncle didn't know about it, none of us. So at that point, they closed the branch. We were all out of a job. And at that point, yeah, I guess it was kind of super risky and kind of not the best plan. But then I was like, all right, I'll just pick up and move to California. Why not? So I used it as an opportunity to take some risks and explore my options out there. So
yeah, and it looked like it worked out. So you got your first duplex. You did pretty well. You can kind of walk us through, you know, that process. You said you got a pre-approval. How did you kind of, did you have to do any rehabs? You can kind of share the numbers with us if you want to, or just any other deal that you're comfortable with. And how did that process go for you?
Yeah. So that first deal, I guess, is probably the most important one for me because, like I said, I was studying real estate. I was listening to podcasts, reading books. And when my parents finally told me that my cousin had bought a duplex and lived on one side and you know, was basically living rent free, it kind of clicked in my head after reading all these books and everything. Like, oh, this is what everybody's talking about. This is what I got to do. So as you know, my first step was I went and got a pre-approval. And again, I had a little bit of good resources. I had my parents, I had my uncle. So I went to my uncle and I said, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to buy a house. I want to do it really cheaply. How do I get into a house? And he proposed the USDA loan, basically a rural development loan, which is, you know, in short, it's basically you can buy a house with little money down in a certain geographical area. The USDA will loan a mortgage to you. So it's basically like an FHA loan. So I pursued that, got a pre-approval, and then started looking for duplexes, looking for houses, and finally stumbled upon this 3-2 in a small little town in Connecticut. And it had, what caught my eye is the upstairs was nice. The kitchen was all redone. It would have been great to live in it, but then I looked at the basement and it was partially finished. The full basement was partially finished. So it had like a water hookup down there. So I knew I could put a, you know, a small little kitchenette. I could hook up and put a bathroom in there. So, so that all, you know, looked really good for me. So I put an offer in it. I got it for $189,000 and my uncle gave me a little trick. So he said, go in, put an offer in at the full listing price, but then negotiate all your closing costs into that so the seller can pay for it. So with a very low down payment, I think I got under contract for $500. I gave them full asking price. They agreed to fix a few things and pay all my closing costs. So it was, I don't remember exactly how the math worked, but at closing, I actually got a check. Like, it was crazy. I actually got a check for a couple $100. It wasn't a lot, but it was like, wow, I got into this house thinking I had to come up with all this money. And now I can go into it. I have some money now to rehab the basement a little bit and then live rent free. So it was a really cool deal.
Fantastic.
So that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So I'm guessing you lived in a basement and kind of rent the main part of the house. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So me and my dad spent a couple months, you know, finishing up. We took a bunch of so he's a contractor. So he was doing some properties and they were actually gutting some old houses and stuff like that. So I was able to reuse some of their old cabinets, and you know, we put in a very, very, very cheap bathroom and that sort of thing. So we did it on the cheap. I think I built part of our countertops out of some IKEA like shelving units, and I put them all together and screwed them together, and you know, totally did it on the cheap. I think I only spent like a couple $1,000s, which I think I even put it on like a credit card or a Home Depot card or something like that.
Wow, that is so fascinating. I really, really like that story. So if there's somebody listening in our conversation, they're like, wow, and you know, they've been telling themselves like, I don't have any money, I don't know how to get started. You know, you just closed the deal, you know, where you were trying to raise at least 500 to, you know, to close them, but you actually got money back. And then obviously when you closed on it, you were really, really scrappy and bootstrapped this project to, you know, kind of make your goal, you know, reality. What would you say to that person that is kind of telling themselves like, I cannot do this, I cannot start, I don't have any money, I don't have any contact? What do you say to that person?
Well, it's kind of funny because I was, you know, going through all that, I thought of all these scenarios why I couldn't do it. I thought, you know, everything was scary, everything was risky, I don't have money for this. But every time I took a step forward, you know, I went and got that pre-approval, or I went and talked to somebody and they told me about this loan, product that was super cheap. Every time I took a step forward, there was always a bunch of different avenues that would appear that you never saw before. So, I mean, that's the greatest advice I can give, is just to take that first step. And for me, I mean, I tell everybody, go look at those USDA rural development loans. Even if you like living in the city, you know, if you could do it for a year, move to the suburbs, find a place where you can get this loan product, live in it for a year, then move out of it, it at least gets you in the game. So those are my two things that I
used to tell. Oh man, thank you so much for that. It's that famous saying, like, you know, 1,000 steps starts with, you know, just very first step. Yeah, right. Yep. Or, you know, I think there's another one where you can't wait for all the stoplights or traffic lights to go green before you actually
right.
go. Right.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Yeah. It's so crazy. And I didn't realize that until I bought that first property and went through that process. And it was a really good lesson. I hope people can at least take something from that.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, that's kind of the goal of the podcast, to just kind of motivate folks to really think differently and kind of push themselves to get to, you know, wherever the end goal is for them. So I think this is a good segue for us. So you know, got this property, gutted it, and then you got your first rent check and you were like, oh my goodness, this actually works. Somebody's actually paying me money, you know, to do this, right? What did you do next? And what was that process like?
So I did that. I got my first rent check. It was to this younger couple that were working at a local school in that town. I think they were in their mid-20s. So I was roughly that age too. So we kind of meshed together. They moved into this, the upstairs, which again was a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. And, you know, I started doing that for about a year, and after about a year of doing it, I really realized something about landlord/tenant relationships, and that I probably would not want to live on the property of a tenant, because every time they see you, there's something broken. Every time they see you, there's an issue. If they get behind on rent, then you got to like mention every time you see them. And so I really, and also too, when these first tenants came in, I didn't know what a lease was. I kind of screwed up on my lease, and there's a lot of like loopholes in it. They allowed somebody to move in off of Craigslist as a roommate, and that person ultimately broke into my unit downstairs and stole a bunch of stuff. And so, I mean, it was a huge learning experience. And I think going forward, I'll never ever rent to somebody that I'm living in the same property with. But yeah, so I did that for a year. And decided, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I like the money. I like, being a landlord, but I just need to move away. So, at that time I had met somebody and she was living in Boston. So I was in Connecticut. She was in Boston. My parents were in New Hampshire. A bunch of family and friends were up in New Hampshire. So I decided that, you know, this would be a good opportunity to go live the city life, move off to Boston, be closer to family, and then, you know, maybe rent out that full property in Connecticut and try it that way. So that's what I did. I ended up moving up there. And I think I was up there for about a year after I moved out and started, you know, getting the bug again and actually starting to look for, you know, more properties. And at the time I kind of had listened to a lot of Grant Cardone. I'm sure a lot of your listeners listen to him. You know, Uncle G, he's crazy and he gets you to think a lot bigger. So at that time he was screaming this to me, and I was looking at properties and I saw this 9-unit pop up in the town over from where I grew up. And it was 9 units. And the reason why it caught my attention is because in the description it had said that the seller would carry a note or do seller financing. So for me, you know, I still didn't have a lot of money to put down on a property. So that caught my eye. And that's the pursuit that I went after and ultimately got that property under contract and closed on that with very little down because, again, it was a seller financing deal. And, you know, I was able to meet with them and kind of, you know, earn their trust and kind of go in with a low down payment. They financed the rest. And actually, we just refinanced it a couple months ago, too. So, but yes, that's where my next step led me to.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. It's just really fascinating that you're saying a lot, but, you know, I really hope the dwell listeners are picking this. So you lived in this property and you're like, well, I don't really like it. I'm going to move, right? And then you just up and leave. People are like, sometimes we all think that we have to stay somewhere because, you know, I grew up here or this is my new city or this is my city. And but right. You're just like kind of ready to up and leave. Like you went to California, you're from New Hampshire and then you went to Connecticut and then you went to Boston. So I'm just kind of bringing this out for anyone that is listening to this and thinking, well, I'm not sure if I want to move because I like, you know, my comfortable life in the suburbs. I don't want to go buy a duplex in the city and have to find parking. That's what I had to do when I was starting out. You know, same story to you, you know, similar story to yours, my first duplex. But I think we have to push ourselves to just like, you know, edge out and take that risk of going to a new city or, you know, trying a new approach, right? So I really like that you're sharing that. And then before you know, you're buying your multifamily, you're refinancing, you're getting a note. It's kind of the same thing that you said. It's when you make that first step, everything else just starts to fall in line, you know?
So well, that's exactly what happened with that property too. You know, I didn't know where I was going to get that money for it. I started talking to the broker, found out, you know, and I saw that it was a seller financing deal, tried to dig into them, talk to them a few times. And again, things would just reveal themselves. And I guess a lot of, you know, those two properties too, at the time I was listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot. I had a lot of enthusiasm. So as I was going and taking a step forward, there was a lot of things being pushed at me that I was listening to that would open up even more. So it kind of helped me get through that. And yeah, it's crazy that,
yeah, you know, the universe kind of meets you, right? When you move towards the universe, right?
Or exactly.
God, you know, whatever. Lives in. So I really love that. You know, I can keep going on every single deal you've done, but we obviously don't have enough time. I think you're doing a terrific job. So we're definitely dwelling into the quick round. These are going to be quick questions, quick answers. You ready, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. First question. What makes Chad unique? What is that differentiating factor that separates you from the next guy or the next girl?
Actually, I just had a conversation with my girlfriend about this actually last night. It's a strength of mine, but I think it can be looked at as a downfall as well. But when I get into something, I get narrow focus and I focus like 150% of my time on that. And so it helps me propel myself forward. But at the same time, some other things drop, you know, I can't keep both plates spinning at all times, but I think ultimately it's a positive score at the end of the day game.
Awesome. Second question. What was the last book that you read and what was the one thing that you picked up from that book?
So again, like I said, I listen to a lot of books, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. But the last book I actually read, I think was, Splitting the Difference by, Chris Voss. That was really good. The thing that I can remember that I took out of that, using the word fair in negotiations, it does something to the, you know, person on the other side of the table that actually brings you guys closer when you're negotiating, you know, anything in life, you know, but specifically real estate.
Yeah, that's definitely a favorite one, as we mentioned on the Dwelling Show numerous times. Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. Last question, you've got your 9 units, you're still managing your out-of-state property, your duplex, and you're obviously doing all this other stuff, spending time with your girlfriend, I'm sure. What do you do for fun?
Every morning, me and Holly, we get up at 4:30 in the morning and we go to the gym. That's our happy place. We spend a lot of time there. What else do we do? I like to hike and mountain bike, snowboard, you know, those sort of things. Of course, I grew up in New Hampshire, so there's a lot of outdoor activity. So yeah, it's been, of course, real estate.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, of course. If there's a Dua listener, a fly on the wall, listening in our conversation, they're like, wow, I really like this chat guy, perhaps they're in the Boston market or obviously anywhere in the country, and they want to get to know you more or just connect with you, where's the best place that folks can reach out, get to know you better?
I guess there's two places. The main place, of course, is Instagram. That's where we connected. I am Chad Duval. That's Duval. That's where I spent all my time, you know, interacting with, you know, our little community there that we've started creating. And but you can also check me out at chadduval.com.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Chad. Really appreciate your time. It's been an amazing, amazing time just chatting with you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
One of my very, very good friends in the real estate investing space, Rod Cliff, is hosting another one of his live events in Baltimore. Yep, my home city, Baltimore. It's from September 27th to 29th, and it's of course all about multifamily investing, so you better be sure that I'm gonna be there. And if you've never been to one of Rod's seminars, you just have to check this stuff out. So if you want to attend this event, and I highly recommend that you should, all you need to do is go to rodsbootcamp.com and enter the code DWELLING at checkout to get $100 off your ticket. Plus, you get to see me and meet me if you've been listening to the show for a while and you're somewhere close to Baltimore or you're maybe flying in. Go to rodsbootcamp.com. That's R-O-D-S. bootcamp.com and enter DWELLING as a discount code DWELLYNN and you get $100 off. So hopefully I'll be seeing you guys in September. Thank you so much.